I'd like for us to turn to Titus. And we will read the passage from the second chapter of Titus. A few verses here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. At the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men exhort, likewise exhort, to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's the first 8 verses of the second chapter of Titus. All of this is sound doctrine. He said, speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. Something that's solid, that's firm, and cannot be gainsaid. And I notice all down through this passage, he's exhorting old women, young men, young women. That takes in the whole scope. All of them to be sober. Now this word sober doesn't mean what it has come to mean today. Now it doesn't refer to intoxication and being under the effect of intoxicants. We're in an age today where that's very prevalent out there in the world. And among people out there in the world, most of the time when guests come to a home, it isn't very long till they're being offered a drink. That's the way the world lives. They're just going that way. And business people, they can hardly conduct business only over a glass of liquor. And if you're going to do any business, set out the champagne. That'll help in the business. Evelyn's oldest son, Kenneth, sold real estate. He was a fireman, but he, on his days off, he had links with a realtor there, and he sold real estate. And he said he'd go call on people in their homes. But he said, almost everywhere I go, they offer a drink. Well, he didn't drink, he didn't touch it, and he just turned it down. But that's just the way the world goes. And at any kind of a celebration, there's a lot of liquor flowing around there. Wedding receptions.
Yes.
And just any kind of a general gathering, there's a lot of liquor flowing around there. That's the way the world goes. And there are many intoxicated people. And they tell us that a big majority, an overwhelming majority of fatal accidents on the highway, liquor's connected with it. Now, this is all a sad commentary that the world would get swamped in this kind of a thing and live this kind of a way, but that's the way it is. And that's the kind of a world that we have to live in. And there are a lot of people that we have to deal with, maybe at different times, that aren't just at themselves because of the effect of intoxicants. I say that's a sad commentary, but that isn't what the Scripture's talking about. Now, the Scripture does talk about that, but this Scripture doesn't. It isn't dealing with that thing. But it is exhorting you and me, old and young, men and women, boys and girls, everybody to be sober.
Amen.
Now, one of the tests that they have, first, let me define sober. It is defined as characterized by reason, sanity, or self-control, showing mental and emotional balance, temperate, not extreme or extravagant. That's sober. That's what sober means here.
Yes, amen.
Now, temperate is defined as moderate in indulging the appetites, not self-indulgent. Moderate in one's speech and actions. Characterized by moderation and restraint. To be sober, then, is to have one's self well in hand, under good control, and to be well balanced in one's thinking and emotions, and able to act under one's better judgment at all times. That's sober. Aged men, be sober. Have themselves under control. Able to act under their better judgment. Maintaining mental and emotional balance. Age sometimes throws these things off course, but God can help us.
Amen.
Now, thinking of balance, one of the tests they have when they arrest somebody under suspicion of driving under the influence of intoxicants, they put them out there and make them walk a straight line. Well, nobody can do it. I don't think I can actually walk a straight line, and I never tasted a drop of liquor of any kind in my whole life, but I don't think I can just walk a straight line without a bobble. But those fellas get out there and they try to walk that straight line. And sometimes they'll get off on this side, and sometimes they'll get off on this side, and sometimes they'll step on the line as they're passed from one side to the other. But that's one of the tests they put them through. God is wanting you and me to become equipped with His grace and His wisdom and the understanding of right living and right doing, that we can walk a straight line for Him. You put a person out there, maybe he's pretty good in many different respects of his life, but in some he isn't. And get him to going the straight line test, walking the straight line, you'll find him occasionally stepping on the line as he goes over to the left, then stepping on the line as he comes back. Things that he's erring in. Things that he's off course in. Unbalanced in his way of life. But God is exhorting you and me to be balanced people. And to have ourselves under good control.
Yes, Lord.
To have ourselves in hand. Able to manage ourselves and our lives and our emotions and our mental attitudes. And everything in every way. And to act under our better judgment at all times. Don't ever let anything get the best of your better judgment. But act in good judgment at all times. Sober. To be balanced in one's thinking. To be balanced in your thinking, and judgment will eliminate imaginations. And rash and distinctive criticisms. And will aid in proper understanding of each other. We've been considering here in these lessons, Sunday morning lessons, for some time, the relationship between husbands and wives. And folks, we really need to be sober in that relationship. We really need ourselves under control. And we really need to be able to understand one another, be balanced in our thinking, till we can understand each other and eliminate rash judgments and unbalanced thinking about each other, one another, and act in our better judgment and seek an understanding. If we're balanced in our thinking, we can reach an understanding with each other. When things can't be worked out and understandings can't be reached, somebody is unbalanced in their thinking. Of course, it's always the other fella. It never is me. It's my wife. Never me. But there's an imbalance somewhere or other, or we can arrive at understandings. To be balanced emotionally will avoid many hurt feelings and strained relations and sharp bitter words and pouting spells, all of which anyone is usually sorry for after it's over, but many times too proud to make an apology and to come down off of their position. We need to be balanced emotionally if we expect any success of compatible living between bosom companions, husbands and wives. These things, these hurt and bitter feelings, these strained relations and sharp and bitter words always leave scar tissues on the soul that sometimes are never healed. Sometimes they're just carried right on. But these things cause them. We need to whip ourselves in line and seek God to give us power to control our emotions and our thinking, and to help us to have ourselves under control and the proper management of our own lives. Brother Mackey Francisco brought us a message here over in the old chapel. One time, and I remember in it, he told about he and his wife having some problems. So he said he went to Brother Chandler, who was their pastor then, and he began to lay out his problems to Brother Chandler, and Brother Chandler heard him out, and when he got through, Brother Chandler said, "Well, now the first thing we need to consider here is that Juanita's a little weak." And that kind of jarred Mackey, and he said, "What?" "Yes," says Juanita's a little weak. He says, "How you figure that?" He said, "Well, she married you, didn't she?" And as the conversation progressed, he got the idea, and he brought it out in his message, how he followed this idea out and how it solved their problem. Brother Chandler told him, says, you can't change Juanita, but you can change yourself. And what you need to do is work on yourself and get yourself under proper control here, where you can act under the influence of your better judgment at all times, and let Juanita take care of her own case. Well, he adopted that policy and he said it worked. But folks, how we need to seek God to bless us with power to properly control ourselves and manage our lives. Manage our emotions. Control our thinking. And to seek the solution of all of our problems under God and down this channel. Now, under the thought of temperate, moderate in indulging the appetites, that's a part of being sober. Temperate is one of the defining words of sober. That involves more than just what we eat and drink. We need to be temperate in our eating. And we need to be temperate in our drinking. And when I say drinking, I just include that in with eating and drinking. I'm not talking about intoxicants now. We need to rule that out. Clear out. Not have any part with that at all. But temperate will include your likes and dislikes. For clothes, cars, houses, furniture, sleep and idleness, diversions, reading, and many other things. When it comes to this, folks, we've got to whip ourselves in line as to our favorite appetites. I'm not talking about eating and drinking now. I'm talking about our appetites for the things that we like to do. Yes. The places we like to go and the way we like to spend our time. Temperate in the use of our time. The proper direction and the management of our time. And if you are a wife and a mother, you will find that time has to be pretty well budgeted to find space and time for whatever your special likes and dislikes are. By the time you take care of your home and your children and everything in the proper way, being intemperate in reaching out for and acquiring the things that cost money can bring people under pressure that will be very crushing and destructive to them. We need to bring our appetites under control. And learn to live within the bounds of our income. Some folks have better incomes than others, but whether it be little or whether it be much, we need to learn to live within the bounds of our income and what we have to live on. Debts are a very common cause of tensions between husbands and wives. When things get difficult financially, obligations pressing, pressures and tensions begin to build, and the wife will begin to blame her husband and the husband his wife for the situation they're in, and tensions will build still more, and pressures will bear down and squeeze heavier. And very often, those kind of situations wind up finally in a separation. Now, a little temperance would have helped back down the line. It may be too late when that happens for temperance to come into play. But a little temperance all along the line in our spending and in our appetites for nice things and cars and houses and clothes and everything that costs money. When it comes to putting out money, we need to have ourselves under control at that point and know where our money goes and that it's going for something that's necessary.
Amen.
Yeah. Now, homes and cars and so forth are really an exception to this rule because they're major investments and major outlays, and no one would, in our category, no one among us would ever likely accumulate enough cash on hands at one time to pay for a home or to pay for a car or whatever. Those kind of things we have to go in debt for if we're going to have them, and set up an installment mortgage payment plan on those things. But things for everyday living, my recommendation is don't go in debt. If you can't afford it now, you can't afford it any better when the payday comes than you can now. And you sink yourself in debt and then begin to wonder how you got there. Credit is so easy now. And a dollar a down and a dollar a week. Oh, we think I can handle that all right, but the first thing you know, you've got more dollars down and more dollars a week than what you've got coming in.
Amen.
And you're swamped. You're in debt. Debts have to be paid, folks. There's no honorable way to shake debts. You can take bankruptcy and get out from under them, but there's no honorable way to do it. Debts have to be paid. There's a payday coming. And we can easily involve ourselves more deeply in what we can pull out from under. We need to be sober, balanced, temperate. Temperate in all of these categories. Now, some folks think they have to drive a new automobile all the time. If you don't have a pretty good income, you better just get that out of your head. That you've got to drive a new automobile all the time. We're living in a time and the way things are, we nearly have to have an automobile. But I haven't made a car payment, I think, since 1943. That's 43 years ago. I don't think I've made a car payment in 43 years. When I needed a car, I shopped and I bought what I could afford to pay for. And that's what I drove. Sometimes it wasn't a late model car either. But what I could afford to pay for, that's what I drove. And I just canceled out the idea back there in 1943. I had some car payments to make, and when I got them made, I canceled out the idea of any more. And I haven't driven a car payment down the highway for 43 years. And I was 60 years old before I ever owned my first new car. And Evelyn went partnership with me on that one 50-50, or I wouldn't have been able to get it. But we don't have to have a lot of things that we think we have to have. And we'd get along a lot better if we would just learn to whip ourselves into line and bring ourselves under control and get sober. Sober in our thinking and temperate in our attitude, our appetites. And sober in our emotions, balanced emotions and balanced thinking, and act according to that, and live within our means, we'd all be a lot better off.
That's the truth.
Yeah. Opal and I settled it. That was my first wife. I lost her in Africa in 1964. We settled it between us that we wouldn't go in debt. If we couldn't pay for anything that we thought we needed, we just let it go till we could pay for it. And that's the way we lived. And I claim we had everything we needed all the time. We might not have had everything we wanted, but I claim we had everything we needed on the basis of God's promise that He would supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Evelyn and I live that way too. We have an understanding between us that we don't go in debt. And that if we can't pay for anything, we'll just let it go till we can pay for it.
Amen.
People being heavy laden with debts is destructive to them in their attitudes and in their thinking and in their behavior, and they can't walk a straight line. They'll zigzag back and forth across the line they're trying to walk, and there'll be things in their lives that'll spring up there that wouldn't have been if they were just going along living normal lives.
Yes, Lord.
Behaving themselves soberly and temperately. The clock's up there, and so I'm going to leave these few remarks with you. And trust that the Lord will bless you with understanding and with an abundance of grace to live out your understanding.